Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3. Philadelphia, always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, good Friday, everyone. It is Dom time. So, the outgoing Surgeon General, Vivek Murphy, in the last few days, suddenly a brilliant idea occurs to him that he wants to put warning labels on all manner of alcohol, at least as I understand it, not just things that are hard liquor. And he calls for cancer warnings on alcohol. And I have in front of me the stuff that he put out. Biden DHS issues last-minute regulation advisory on the link between alcohol and cancer risk. Surgeon General, new advisory outlining the direct link, he says, between alcohol consumption and increased cancer risk. Alcohol consumption is the third leading preventable cause of cancer in the United States, after tobacco and obesity, increasing, he says, the risk for at least 7 types of cancer. While scientific evidence for this connection has been growing over the past 4 decades, fewer than half of Americans recognize it as a risk factor for cancer. Now, his claim is that alcohol is well-established preventable cause of cancer, responsible for about 100,000 cases of cancer and 20,000 cancer deaths annually in the United States, greater than the 13,500 alcohol-associated traffic fatalities per year. The advisory lays out steps we can all take to increase awareness of alcohol cancer risk and minimize them. The direct link is well established for at least 7 types of cancer: breast cancer, colorectum, esophagus, liver, mouth, throat, and voice box. Regardless, he says, of the type of alcohol, beer, wine, and spirits is consumed. For breast cancer specifically, 16.4% of total breast cancer cases are attributable to alcohol consumption. Now, I'm holding this. I wish you were in the studio today on YouTube going with this. I find that to be preposterous. 16.4% of total breast cancer cases are attributable to alcohol consumption. All right, now, you know, we know alcoholism, or we know, for want of a better term, hard drinkers, you know, some problems associated with that. But approaching 1/5 of breast cancer cases, you can attribute to alcohol consumption. So it brings up something that's happened here. I think the cigarette warnings were appropriate when they came down. You know, whether people pay attention to them now, there's so much information out there. But they were a breakthrough when the Surgeon General and the tobacco companies fought that. And look, there is no doubt, right? There is no doubt that people know. It doesn't mean everybody's going to get cancer, but it means that this is an elevated risk factor, and people are aware of that. And does the warning on the pack of cigarettes, or in this case, on the bottle of beer, this is much more of a stretch to me. But his papers, what he lays out, they attribute close to 17% of breast cancers, for example, to alcohol consumption. Now, I'm looking through. I don't have this. Just broke this morning. Well, how much alcohol consumption are we talking about? And I think they would probably say, we're not talking about that you have to be an alcoholic. You know, it should be substantial, though. And we get these things that go back and forth like red wine. Now, because I'm a connoisseur of red wines, you know, I buy into the notion of the health benefits of red wine in proportion at dinner, that kind of thing. I've been limiting since the new year, you know, a little weight loss type of thing. But I would say I probably have 5 glasses a week, something like that. They're not huge goblets. They're not small, but they're not like a whole goblet of wine and counting that as one glass. That's ridiculous, right? But what would you have to drink? I didn't find it anywhere to get to this level of risk for breast cancer. Why the Surgeon General didn't bring this up earlier? And it would be interesting. You know where I'm going with this. It brings up the broadest thing, because now once we get this speaker settled, the main topic, even more than the inauguration, is going to be these, I can hardly wait for these confirmation hearings. This gets into it with Kennedy. And Kennedy is wildly, roundly opposed, and I'm in agreement with him, to opposition that the government shouldn't be encouraging paying for Ozempic. People like Elon Musk. So after what we've seen with the HB1 visa, are we going to see Elon Musk taking on Kennedy over Ozempic? Because Elon Musk uses it, is proud of it, and talks about it all the time, or a lot. And it gets into the broader thing with Kennedy. Is he going to make Americans aware of this? I think the best thing for Kennedy, first year, is going to be the food supply. There's solid numbers with him on that. That there are things, it's just a simple thing when we talked about it with McDonald's, the beef tallow versus the seed oils, had a lot of action on that. A lot of people interested in that. A lot of people want that looked at. And ultra processing. And, you know, are there, and this will be debated during the confirmation hearings, is it really true that certain dyes you can't use in Canada or Europe, but we use it here? To what degree? These are all matters of the devil's in the details. But I'm wondering, I don't see this happening with Kennedy, that he's going to get into this, but maybe the Surgeon General will be. This is still out there. And that number is hard for me to believe. You know, you can throw that number out there. Do I believe that 1/5 of breast cancers are directly attributable to alcohol consumption? You got a lot of convincing to do to get me to that point. All right, here's how you get in. So what is it, the direction now, that this impacts all of us? You know, the Pete Hegsets of the world, we're going through the whole thing with terrorism now, Kash Patel. I would rank them, the most that people are going to talk about, pay attention to, is RFK Jr., as far as if he gets the job in 2025, of what we're going to be talking about. It'll be constant. You got the vaccines, you got this, you got random things like alcohol and breast cancer. It'll be constant. The second most will be Kash Patel, the FBI. Pete Hegseth and defense and all, there would be a lot of stuff there. There's no doubt. But it seems like more macro stuff, you know, that we'll talk about. I don't know about callers and social media and all that. But Kennedy, Kash Patel, and the FBI, that's where there will be a lot of action. Of course, Homeland Security, but Kristi Noem, even though she's not the lightning rod necessarily, the difference with her and how she'll approach it versus Mayorkas will be newsworthy. And she will be great. I witnessed it standing right next to her with the media in the spin room. Very composed, very quick on her feet. She'll do well in this. And I think she's got the executive experience, etc. All right, here's how you get in. 855-839-1210. So, let's put that warning on beer. Now, I have to admit the argument that this is the third biggest preventable. I don't know what's fourth, fifth, or sixth that's involved in this. I wouldn't have guessed that. I would have guessed it had to have something to do with being around toxicity fumes of one sort or another, work-related. I don't know, maybe they're saying that's not preventable. You got to work where you're going to work. But smoking / cigarettes followed by obesity and then alcohol consumption to the level that I told you about. That's hard to believe that we reach that level, almost 20%. Directly, though, from the outgoing Surgeon General. All right, let's go to Robert of Ben Salem, and Robert's in on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Dom, Dan, how you guys?
Hey, I'm very well, Robert.
Caught unawares. I'm curious, Dom, has anything notable been done by our new mayor in Philadelphia, Sherelle Parker? I mean, has she made any kind of a dent in anything?
I would say the cleanup stuff that she's done. Now, does she break into the attitude of Philadelphia as far as throwing stuff around? That's long term. But yeah, I would say the cleanup thing has been the biggest thing. Yes.
Well, that's not too bad because I'm looking at the mayors in Philadelphia, and I have to think that Sherelle is definitely a step up from Jim Kenney. But I think that everything turned after Rendell, and the anger in the left in the city started with the answer to my side question, and that would be the Street Brothers, Milton and John. Mm-hmm. I think John was an effective mayor, but he wasn't a good mayor. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was antagonistic to everything. I mean, very difficult guy,
He had decent political instincts, but I think there was an anger issue there. But I'm going to go with that for my side question. I know it's a little out of the box, but I'm going to go with Milton and John Street Brothers.
All right.
Philadelphia.
That's a street. That is outside the box. We'll accept that one. Thank you, Robert. Have a good weekend. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Surprising to you, close to 20% breast cancer. I can't challenge it. I'm not a scientist on that in front of me. I'd have to see multitude of studies and how they get that attributable. But this is the type of stuff they're basing it on. So that women should see that, should be on the beer. Hey, breast cancer, close to 20%. Do you really want to consume that? And it's across the board. It's beer, wine, spirits, not just so-called, you know, lighter like beer. You got a heavy lift if I'm going to put more on packaging, though, with this. Does the warning labels on the packaging work? I think it did with cigarettes. I think it was a big causal element because it affirmed what was controversial at that point, that people believing this was a direct cause, potential direct cause of cancer, and you put it on the cigarette label and it becomes established as a fact. It does give visibility. Now, it's another regulation forcing companies to go through this. All the regulations already around alcohol, adding cancer to it. I mean, is that going to restrain people from drinking? I'll give you the argument that says no. Already, you know about liver damage. You know about potential drunk driving. You know about all these things that potentially can happen. You know about just being buzzed and not making good decisions, saying something you shouldn't, getting into fight, whatever, that are related to it, potentially. And you're going to be stopped by this. But when you tell me that breast cancer is 16 point whatever, the almost 17% directly attributable to alcohol, well, if that's just not a made-up thing they're doing because they're regulators and that's all that they want to do, that's pretty stunning to me. Not buying it yet, but pretty stunning. I don't know. I can't answer why this guy didn't start earlier with this type of campaign. But Americans, rightly, were rejecting, and it's the same thing with government. They cry wolf too much. I told you the story of the bird flu thing. It's going to be hard to convince people if we really do have a worry here because of what they did with COVID. We don't want to go down that path again, almost no matter what it is. They've blown their chance. It was so repressive, so unscientific, so arrogant, so virtuous on their side. Remember Murphy, the king of hair? Remember him with Tucker Carlson saying that was above his pay grade? Why he couldn't shut down liquor stores, but he could shut down churches because the alcoholics needed alcohol? Didn't he get the memo from the Surgeon General? But he could shut down churches. Just stuff like that, the constant Wolfman hack. Governor Wolf, that petty little tyrant, choosing winners and losers. So because of that experience, it's going to be very difficult if you actually do have a health thing. And that's where Kennedy comes in. On all sides of this, you got to realize he's got a libertarian side, but he's got a side of what he thinks is true science that he's going to go like with the Ozempic. Doesn't think the government should be subsidizing this. All right, 855-839-1210. You get in. Hit us with that street, too. All-time famous street. It could be real. It could be fictional. And it's all in the call, remember, rather than just blurting out the name of some street. And you could extend it. It might be a road or whatever. But mainly we're dealing with streets like Bourbon Street, which I think Broadway is the most famous American street that's a real street, probably.
Ooh.
Broad streets across the country might be, but Broadway, because of New York, the Canyon of Heroes and all that, why do you have one you think is more prominent, Henry?
Wall Street, possibly?
Wall Street, yeah. Now, it's actually a street with Broadway. You don't say Broadway Street.
It's true.
And maybe people associate Broadway with the theater district, but up until recently... that's a good test. Wall Street would be definitely in the same.
I'd like to know if Broadway is still associated with the plays and all, rather than what would it be? I guess Nashville, right? That's the main street in Nashville now, and Nashville's on the come up more than any other city in America.
Well, you got the plays, but you also have going down Broadway is where the Canyon of Heroes is, where you get ticker tape parades and all that. I don't know the last one that we've had. It's both. It meanders through both. All right, so it's 855-839-1210. And does that scare you at all? You go, wow, if that's true, 17% attributable breast cancer to alcohol. Or do you say to yourself, you got to drink it again? You're not convincing me of that. I'm unconvinced of it. I'm just telling you what the report out today that they put out. And with RFK Jr. coming in, I don't know which side. He probably is against putting this on beer or whatever, I think. But he is going to make moves here. This is the most consequential of all the nominees. It's RFK Jr. 855-839-1210. All right, 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all you have to do is just push #1210. Now, CNN and MSNBC, of course, billing this, if Johnson doesn't get confirmed on the first ballot, as a test of Trump, meaning it's not Johnson that failed, it's Trump that failed here because of this wholehearted endorsement. I would say this. If this becomes inconclusive for days, then yeah, there is something going on here where Trump doesn't have the leverage that we think he does. But what I think is going to happen is pro forma is going to be at least one round, maybe two, where Johnson doesn't get the nod. And then, you know, the glacial pace these guys move at, who knows if that's tomorrow or not, he will. So it's not a test of Trump's leverage here, of fear of Trump or whatever. It's just that it's so close to the margins that it's very difficult to imagine other than guys like Massey. So is Massey a hero? Well, he's the one guy. If Johnson didn't do what he could do the last time around, I don't want him, and we ought to just, who cares? You have these idiots calling, you know, stuff like, let the Democrats take over, then people will learn. No. We're not into this. We want to get moving on this. We don't want to fight over this battle. We get it with Johnson. We get it with the spending. That's up to the leverage Trump will use going forward on this and the leverage of others who still have power over Johnson to have another up and down vote on the speaker if it gets too far out of line. Marjorie Taylor Greene this time, yesterday, at the speech at the news press conference said, time to get behind Mike Johnson. That's what we have to do in this. Try to hold him in line. I agree it's maddening to deal with this after what was a landslide, at least in the winning all seven of the swing states, and how well Trump did in Jersey and places like that. But the bottom line is, somehow or another, in the House, Republicans barely hung on. You know that. I know that. And we have the midterms coming up. So every day is precious for them to get the agenda done. And it is a lot of items here. And the other side is already trying to slow walk it, set things up, etc. That's what this is about. You don't want to give them any more space with this. So I don't see Massey as a hero. I mean, I think he's consistent maybe with what he's done before. But on this, isn't it time to vote for the bigger picture? Isn't that what should happen here? This is not a profile in courage. This is a guy who's a bit of a grandstander on this, and he's got to know that Johnson is the choice. Yeah, I love Byron Donalds. I'd love to see that. Jim Jordan. Neither one's moving on this, and Jordan, whatever the reason was, the last time couldn't get over the wall with these Republicans. I don't know why. You'd have to be inside this. And there's at least 15 of them that are very difficult to keep on board. And, you know, some of them I might even agree with on a particular issue in the spending, etc. But the bottom line is, you got to get things done here. How do we do that? How do we preserve the maximum of that? All right, let's go to Susan, Chester Springs. Susan's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Susan.
Yeah, good morning, Don. Boy, you're touching on so many subjects today. As far as the alcohol,
yes.
I wonder how much they're talking about. I mean, in France, they do not have higher rates of breast cancer, and they drink lots of wine. I mean, like anything else, moderation. I mean,
well,
I'm against alcohol.
Yeah, I say to you, though, that isn't it surprising, though, even if it's a fairly, let's say it's a fairly high rate of whatever the alcohol is, that 16.4% of total breast cancer cases are attributable to alcohol consumption. That's still pretty surprising, because that would mainly be women. So I don't know that it's outrageously high. It's probably higher than normal, they're indicating. I'm trying to dig through their files to get that. But I just can't believe that number. Yeah.
It's definitely a poison. I mean, my daughter died because of a drunk driver. My husband died because he was an alcoholic, and he exploded from the inside out. I mean, it was a horrible death. And so, obviously, and my great-great-grandfather was a prohibitionist, and he was a police commissioner, and he got fired because he did his job too well. But, No. And as far as the Republicans, there they go again. They cannot stick together. They can't look at the big picture.
Yeah, exactly right. Democrats fall in line on this. You know, Susan, there were people the last time around. Now, look, it was a little bit different with McCarthy. They had a little bit more of an edge. They were lecturing people like me when I would say, all right, we had our fun here after a day or two. Gates particularly, they were loving it. And they were telling us they were like patriots or something. At a certain point, there's a reality here.
Yeah.
Of who is going to be picked at this, and these people that are Congress people have a pretty good sense of that. you got to give it up and move on for, on the bigger picture.
Well, and my answer is, I mean, where do you go that you see Cartier, Versace, Gucci, Hermes? I mean, it's on the, it's the Fifth Avenue of the West Coast. It's Rodeo Drive.
Yeah, Rodeo Drive. Now, do you think that's the most expensive in the world? When we took listeners to Italy a couple of years ago, Milan, I'm telling you, the guards all had automatic Glocks, et cetera. And they would let you in one at a time in this big shopping center. It was hard to believe even looking at it. Yeah.
Well,
Rodeo Drive's got to be up there.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is
Thank
a good
you.
One, Susan. Thanks, Susan. Have a nice week. Yeah, Rodeo Drive. Good choice. We'll put that one in. Ray Didinger is next. I wanted to talk to Ray about the Eagles, where they're going, and a couple of other things, but including the Saquon Barkley. Has that died down? And Nick Sirianni, even though I think he's just a guy who tumbles over stuff, said probable about Barkley playing, but I thought he meant he's not going to play. Do I think at the 11th hour, suddenly they're going to put him in there? I don't think so.
No, but the way they already put out all the people who are starting in the next game, it's not happening.
Yeah, it doesn't seem likely at all. And I'm going to ask Ray, well, why would they keep him out with 11 minutes left in the Dallas game? Yes, he had broken 2,000 yards. Did they make a deal in their mind? All right, well, let him get 2,000 yards, and after that, it stops. All right, Ray Didinger with us here on Talk Radio 1210. Before we go to Ray, a little scoreboard of our own with the speaker race. It appears that we told you the Massey guy voting for... we don't know that yet, but Norman, another guy who's hard to please, is going to vote for Jim Jordan. So I don't think this is going to be a first round. Ray Didinger, of course, needs no introduction. All the years here in Philadelphia, the books, the commentary, and that people just love him when it comes to that. Is he going to break my heart by what he says about Barkley and the Eagles' seeming decision here? All right, the tension's building. Let's go to Ray here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Ray, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us.
Happy New Year to you too, Dom. How are you doing?
Good. Well, I'll let you know in a moment here. You're the ultimate judge of this. So how did you come down? I didn't hear you on WIP, Ray, prior to the decision of the Eagles seemingly not to use Barkley Sunday. What was your ultimate judgment?
Well, I was on with John Ritchie and Joe DeCameron on Monday.
Right.
And obviously that was all anybody was talking about. And, of course, everybody had to have an opinion on that. And I was of the mind, I don't like the decision, but I would have done the same thing as Sirianni. I would have sat him this week.
Oh,
and I know, having said that, well, I know what the reaction was among most of the callers at WIP this week. The last time I heard, it was running like 70-30 for people saying, let him go for it. It was an overwhelming support for fans wanted to see him go for it. And I think and the reaction that I got after I went on the radio and said what I said, in terms of emails I received and other stuff, it was pretty much the same way. People say, no, you're wrong. If you're that close to making history, you go for it. But I still feel that Sirianni did the prudent thing. I really do. And, you know, that this team has been playing a lot of football for a long time now. I mean, they played 12 weeks without a break. Their bye was in week five. And going into the postseason, the best thing you could do was just give your guys a rest. Sit your starters out. Make this their bye week so that if you go on and play a number one seed in the playoffs, that you're playing them on a level playing field. These guys really needed a rest. And if you saw the reaction of them, were they disappointed? Yeah, some of them were. But other guys came up forward and said, you know, this is the best thing for us. I mean, to just get us physically ready and go into the postseason and take a run at the Super Bowl, because that's really what they're all after.
Well, let me make the case, though. I think Barkley, though, I think he said it and he had to back away being accused of selfishness. Doesn't some of this depend, Ray, on, among other factors, Barkley, his condition, but also the significance of the record? So if you think this record is not that significant, it's okay, then you make this decision. I happen to think it's very significant. Football, unlike baseball and the other sports, You know, like, do I know, you would know an offensive lineman is he a Hall of Famer or not, but what kind of statistics do you have? And for a runner, how do we judge a runner? Isn't this something that sets people apart, immortal, if you have this?
Well, I mean, you could say that, but I'll ask you this. Do you consider Eric Dickerson immortal? He's the guy that has the record now.
No, he doesn't, based upon that, I would agree. I mean, I think of some of the other people that did this. O.J., for example.
Exactly.
In 14 games is the standard. This would be in 17 games.
I dare say if you talk to people, whether they're big-time fans or not, if you say to them, who's the greatest running back in the history of the National Football League?
That's an easy one. James Brown.
I agree. A lot, you know, people sort of our generation would probably say Jim Brown.
Right.
You might have some people say Gale Sayers. You might have some people, a lot of people would probably say Walter Payton. You'd probably have a whole bunch of people would say Barry Sanders. Some of them would say O.J. I dare say that nobody would say Eric Dickerson. Okay. Now, he's got the record. He's got the numbers. But is there anybody that would say that he was the best? So, I mean, that's why I'm not saying that the record doesn't matter. I mean, it's you're clearly making history here. But the idea that this would be like DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak, that, you know, the guy's immortal. I mean, he's going to be remembered and talked about forever. I don't think Dickerson's in that class. I mean, he's got the record, but yeah, it's just not. And I look at, I mean, Barkley has been so great this year.
Mm-hmm.
With everything he's done, with coming to the city, what he's meant for this team, the way he's connected with the fans, the way he's carried himself, everything about him, he has just been great. I don't think he needs the record. I don't think he needs that. I mean, if he can actually, if resting up here gets him ready for a big
right.
postseason run, which it could, and they go on and they win the Super Bowl, I guarantee you, when they come down Broad Street with the Lombardi Trophy, there's not going to be anybody worried about the record, and nobody's going to be talking Eric Dickerson.
Well, I like what you're doing here, and I wish maybe the Eagle, you know, but I guess the coach making this argument, you are diminishing the record a little bit here because of Eric Dickerson and the argument, and I think that's an effective way to go about this. You discount, Ray, too, that the offensive line really wants to play because they're part of this. This is not just one person. You seem to be indicating you think some of them would rather just rest.
Lane Johnson has said that.
Okay.
You know, I mean, a couple of the guys, like immediately after the game on Sunday, after the win over Dallas, reporters were in the locker room talking to everybody about this issue because that's really all anybody wanted to talk about. And some of the guys, and Jordan Mailata, the left tackle, I mean, he came out right away and said, we want to go for it. We absolutely want to go for it. It's a chance for all of us to make history, which I totally get. I mean, I totally get that. They went to Lane Johnson, and Lane Johnson said, no, no, no. It's better. His words were, it's better to be safe than sorry. They could use the rest, and the thing is they don't want to get any of them hurt in this game that is utterly, utterly meaningless. You know, and last year, they were in a similar situation. They came to the end of the year. It was different in the sense that the team was really struggling, falling apart at the end of the year.
Right.
I understand Sirianni wanted to win that last game to try and get things right before the playoffs. But they played the game, which really, in effect, didn't mean anything. But he went ahead and played it. And, you know, Hurts breaks a finger, and A.J. Brown hurts his knee and can't play the next week in a playoff game, and you get bounced. So that's the risk you're taking here. And I know, and you look at Barkley. Barkley's had 345 carries this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you factor in pass receptions, he's got 378 touches. And this is a guy that as big and tough and dynamic as he is, has a history of injury. I mean, he's a guy who has been hurt in his career.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you play him in this game with the idea of, well, we're going to set the record, and could they set the record against? Absolutely. 100 yards against this Giants defense, Barkley could probably do it blindfolded. But at what cost? I mean, if he were to get hurt in that game, and it could happen on any play, wouldn't even have to happen on a tackle. I mean, he could be blocking for somebody else and have a lineman roll up the back of his leg and take him out of the game. It could happen on any snap. I think the safest thing to do, and I'm sure it was not an easy decision for Sirianni and to come up with, but I think it was the right decision, and I give all the credit in the world, tremendous credit in the world to Barkley for the way he's handled this. You know, I mean, he has been the ultimate pro in this thing. And he said, look, it's the coach's decision. Whatever he decides, I'm going to go with it. He would love to get the record. His family has said they would love to see him get the record. And what better way to do it than against the team that let you walk? Yeah, you know, I mean, everything. Exactly. This is a storybook setting here that they're all walking away from. But I think it's the right decision.
Where does Ray Dittinger place the Eagles' chances now going forward with, I wouldn't say he's banged up, but he's still in protocol unless something has happened with Jalen Hurts. Ray, he won't have what, I think he will have had 12 snaps, I heard the other day, if he doesn't play this week. And I definitely would not play him. Looking at his face coming off the field, it was frightening. 12 snaps in all of December going into a playoff game. Doesn't strike me as a guy who necessarily can just plug in. That would be difficult.
Not ideal. It's not. But I certainly agree with you. I mean, given what we know about concussions now, and given the fact that, I mean, I don't even think he was at the stadium last Sunday, and he hasn't even right. come out to watch practice, much less take part in practice. This was a bad concussion.
Yes.
I don't think there's even any consideration of putting him on the field, even for one series on Sunday, because it wouldn't make any sense. Is there going to be the fear of rust? Yeah, it could be. I mean, it could be. But I think it's one of those things you just have to deal with in a 17-game season. I mean, you look around the league. That's one of the reasons why I know the NFL is not going to change, because they're going to keep adding games because they want to keep making more money. But, I mean, the season is so long.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so punishing for these players. I mean, you're asking these guys to play 17 games, and then they get to the playoffs, and then they say, now the real season starts. And you have so many players in this league and so many teams in this league that are just banged up. I'm amazed. I am frankly amazed that the Detroit Lions have been able to accomplish what they've accomplished this year, because they have a million guys hurt. I mean, you look
it
at their roster, especially on the defensive side. But their team has just been racked with injuries, and yet they continue to win. And I give them and their coaches a tremendous amount of credit, because they have fought through a lot of adversity. But the war of attrition that goes on in the NFL with the body count week after week when you get into this point in the year, that has to be the biggest consideration when you're going into the playoffs, to try and go in as healthy as you possibly can. And as much as I think it was tough for Sirianni to make the decision that he made, I think he made the right decision.
Ray, Tommy and me, the people we gave tickets to in the family, haven't gone yet, but they love the idea of it. It was really a great gift. Thank you. You make Christmas every year by the continuation of that play pretty easy, that a lot of people love this. Sentimental value. I've seen it. The two times, particularly the second time in New Hope, when we led the discussion. The first one, it was very new then, but the second one, I just saw how many people were there, many daughters with their dads too, reliving this. There's something about Tommy McDonald, your telling of it, that captures something, in my view, better than what today is, when you could actually be near the players there at Hershey. And a guy like Tommy McDonald, it's just one of the characters that's once in a lifetime. So is the play running through January?
The play is running through January, because the demand for tickets has been such that they had to add a week to it. So the run has been extended for a week. So we open next Tuesday, and we now run through February the 1st. And it's going to be a People's Light Theater in Malvern, which is a really great theater. We've never been there before, but we're looking forward to this. And I think you described it really well. Dom, in that the play really kind of evokes that era of the National Football League, when it was kind of the NFL's wonder years. The NFL was just really coming of age, and it hadn't turned into this monolith that it is today, this billion-dollar industry. It was a very humble kind of game.
Does that surprise you, Ray? Because the management of it, the commissioner and others, to me, leave a lot to be desired versus some of the great commissioners that were there. Despite itself, it just gets bigger every year.
Yeah, and one of the, I mean, to underscore that point, I mean, one of the elements in Tommy and Me, and the point that we make is in the 1960, which the play kind of revolves around, the year the Eagles win the World Championship, the NFL, the game was supposed to be played on December 25th. That was the Sunday.
Yes.
But Pete Rozelle stepped up and said, no, we're not playing football on a holy day. So the NFL championship game, Eagles-Packers, was played on a Monday afternoon at Franklin Field because Rozelle wouldn't play on Christmas Day. This year, the NFL played a triple header on Christmas Day because they wanted
right.
the TV money.
And
because
Netflix
they wanted the TV money.
And somehow or another, they committed to hold up. I don't know who held the mask and who had the gun. Netflix did pretty well, but still, what the NFL got from it is it just emboldens them. Are we going to come to a point, do you think, in the next 5 years where half of the games you'll have to pay for, do you think, something like that?
I wouldn't say half, but we're certainly moving in that direction. I mean, there's more games are on streaming now.
Yeah.
Every year there's more. And the one thing that I really fear, Dom, and I mean, people tell me it's not going to happen, but we're certainly moving in that direction, is the Super Bowl will be. The Super Bowl will be a pay-per-view. I would hate if that happened. I mean, there'd be enormous complaining and people grousing about it, but if the NFL does it, people are going to pay for it, and it'll be the biggest windfall in the history of sports.
Oh, my God. Yes, without a doubt. So, Ray, tickets still available. Again, tell us where to go.
Tickets are still available. Go to the website for People's Light Theater out in Malvern, and they have the listing there. Some dates, some shows are sold out. Other shows, it's kind of limited. Other shows, because they've added the week now at the end, that last week of January, those shows have been just been added. So there are more tickets available for those. But there are tickets across the board, but they are going fast. So if you want to come out and see us, and I really recommend you do, it's a great play. And people do love it. We'll be there starting on Tuesday and running through the whole month. People's Light in Malvern, come on out and see Tommy and Me.
Absolutely, Ray. Thank you so much. To be continued, Ray Dininger. Thank you.
Absolutely. Hope we have a deep run in January. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Ray. Ray Dininger here. All right. Our heart's broken. Still different. Did a good job of diminishing the record a bit. We'll take your calls. 855-839-1210. Poor Eric Dickerson. Even I had to concede that. Come on now. It's not an immortal guy. I don't think about that when I think of Dickerson. Just not. Does that tarnish this? That was dirty pool, using that as an argument.
Right. Like, I only really know Eric Dickerson because he has the record.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, he was physically imposing and all that stuff, but it wasn't anything that excites you like a Sanders or an OJ or Jim Brown. You know, something generational. It wasn't like that. He just persevered, and they were going to run the ball in. Okay, it's 855-839-1210. We'll get you on board. Hey, are you looking to achieve your health goals and start the new year right? Now's the time to optimize and support your heart health, cholesterol, digestive health, energy levels, and more with Rescue Natural Supplements with their New Year savings. Rescue is celebrating you. Save 35% on single bottles of Rescue supplements with the code HEALTH35. Try the popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart health, Rescue Probiotics for better digestion, or Rescue Orasine for more energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. To place an order, call 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com, res-q.com. Start your journey to better health today with the code HEALTH35. Again, save 35% on all single supplements using that code HEALTH, HEALTH35. Don't make this time go by. Don't wait. Make this year your best yet with Rescue and do it now. All right, it is Dom time. Big 2 o'clock hour. Henry, if you can find it, it's on Twitter all over the place. Kamala Harris, listening during the break, I would say does screw up forgetting the Pledge of Allegiance in the swearing-in ceremony for senators. As the president of the Senate, she is charged with that. We'll play that for you in the 2 o'clock hour. Massey, this guy, right, from Kentucky, he votes for Emmer, who is the all-time rhino. Remember when this came up before? Emmer, maybe the second person after McCarthy last year, or maybe it was the beginning of this in 2024, was proposed, and you started looking at some of the stuff that Emmer did. How in the world can this guy Massey vote for Emmer? How? You vote for Jordan, you vote for Donalds, all right, you know. And Chip Roy, at least in the last moment that I saw, has declined to vote at this point. This is setting up where potentially, if they screw this up technically somehow or another, Jeffries could be the speaker by the time we get to the Rich the Always show. My God. Newt Gingrich weighs in and said these Republicans need a team of psychiatrists. They do. There is no other. You're not heroes. You're not reminding us, and it is true, of the overspending. I'm in that camp. You're in that camp. We know that, right? But is the way to go with this to be having votes for Emmer? I believe it's three Republicans, at least on the clock. I'm not sure how this Roy thing, refused to vote, how it plays out. But there is potential, they're dancing with this, that Jeffries, you know, the Democrats are all going to go there. I don't think it's going to happen. But once again, toward what point? Toward what point are we doing this? Well, we're just going to show you we're not going to take all the spending anymore. That's why we're doing it. No, it's their own internal demons. That's why they're engaged in this. There's nothing heroic. And I see several people now believing, because it appears that a Democrat here or there, maybe a couple, maybe more, ultimately will vote for RFK Jr. In other words, the word today as we head toward the confirmation is that RFK Jr. has better than a 50-50 shot at getting Health and Human Services. And I believe that's going to happen. I think Hegseth is going to make it also. The Tulsi Gabbard one is the one a lot of people think that's going to be difficult. And Kash Patel, I told you yesterday, my read is, after what we've seen play out with the FBI, my God, what an embarrassment, that strengthens his shot at being the FBI director. And the most consequential jobs you'll see over this next year are going to be RFK Jr., Health and Human Services, and they're going to be Kash Patel as FBI director. Both are confirmed. These are the key spots. Yeah, Pam Bondi, it's always your attorney general, is a critical role. But these other two, given how disruptive they are, and that's what we need, disruptors. So is Thomas Massey, is he a disruptor? Or is he just a guy who likes to, more likely, to grandstand? I'm not saying he's not a guy that I agree with him on most things. But on this, Emmer? How in the world can you vote for Emmer if you're telling me that you're serious here and you're making a point? Emmer? One of the all-time rhinos of rhinos. We've gone through it before about this guy. All right, here's how you get in. Give me your reaction, 855-839-1210. Also, hit us with that all-time street, like Bourbon Street, real or fictional. Hit us with that, all that, straight ahead on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.